Blog Talk Radio.
Again, or whatever.
Yeah, we gotta get the music in.
Yeah.
Good times. Yes. Come on with the music.
Hey, it's
oh,
stopped.
The
music
off. Shut off.
Yeah, now I can.
So thank you for that Halloween entrance, despite us going into spring. Hope everybody's doing fantastic. Welcome, Pop Culture Stars. Today is 4/12/23, somewhere in that ballpark. It's first Wednesday after Easter. Y'all look it up. Hope everybody out there is doing fantastic. So here we are this evening as I am unwrapping my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars here in Jacksonville, as I am running behind. My usual show prep is not done, but we will persevere and catch up. So, kick it around to my most esteemed panel of one, returning to us after a brief absence, celebrating some Easter shenanigans with the family, and recovering from the week before, Tale of Two Wednesdays for this young man. Todd, how are you doing this evening, buddy? Everything going good?
Man, you just called me Todd.
Yeah.
Well, since you called me Todd, I got to do my Todd entrance. I am. What does he say?
Outstanding.
Something to ecstatic. Yes. And ecstatic to be here. I couldn't even get it out this time. Tim here. But we're doing wonderful up in Westfield. And for the first time in Pop Culture Stars podcast history here, I am broadcasting from the treehouse, which I built last year. Yeah, I'm gloating a little bit. But I'm more or less gloating about the awesome weather, man. We're in like the 70s. So it's freaking awesome out here. I hope you guys are having some nice weather, too. But the sun is still out, thanks to our good old daylight saving time that's absolute garbage. But sun's still out. I'm in the treehouse. And, looking forward to a good show. I've been out for a while last week. Like you mentioned, I was on the spring break trip. And before that, I think, is when the bug came around and spanked my butt pretty hardcore. So that wasn't fun. I was glad I recovered just in time to load the car and drive 16 hours. So, anyway, glad to be back.
Yeah, man. And my total apologies for calling you Todd. My brain's totally checked out. I can swear. It's just like, God damn, did I say Todd or did I say Tim? So, hopefully you won't decide to get retribution and call me Dr. John tonight. That would sure be sporting of you. But, yeah, that would hurt. But, man, it is great to have you back. Great to be on. So, I have no idea what to speak of tonight. I have nothing to run off of. I am at a total blank. So, how about some Star Wars, dude? Did you hear about the Star Wars? You're in the Star Wars, are you not, Todd? Tim, goddamn, two.
That's the second.
Why do I keep saying Todd? Why do I keep saying Todd? What the fuck is wrong with me, man? And then I just F-bomb.
You know what?
I'm falling apart, dude.
He's a legend on the podcast, so I'm going to take it as a compliment. And it's probably because, well, I think maybe you and I have done a couple shows where it was just you and I. Maybe at least one, but I'm thinking maybe that's where it comes from, because I know you and Todd have stories of talking about just doing the podcast between the two of you. Back to the Star Wars thing. Yes, I am, but I'm more of a retro, you know, it's not like I have a hatred toward any of the newer ones. I've seen some of them. I don't know enough about, you know, you guys are real good on the backstory lines and which movies connect what dots and things like that, as far as, you know, going off into the side stories and such. And that I don't know of. I can still speak to them a little bit. But I'm more of a, you know, original Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi type guy.
Yeah, you're like me. Easy. The reason why I brought it up is because this past week they threw Star Wars Celebration, oddly enough, in England, Great Britain, whatever the proper – I could never get that right. There's like Great Britain, which counts Wales and all that kind of nifty stuff. And then England,
yep.
And I don't know how it works, but my apologies to the British lady and all those who follow her wonderful guidance on time and space.
Yeah, she just with like 10 more years of that god-awful intro music.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, that'll be 7 years of the creepy music. It's like breaking a mirror or something, you know? You violated the British lady. But, no, they had it over there. And, you know, when I saw they were having it over there, I didn't really put much into it. But then after what happened, I said, oh, I see why. Because had they had it over here in the States, there probably would have been a revolt. And they made some announcements. And we all know that lately the stuff that's been coming out has been pretty poo. We know that. You know, for us, you know, as Tim alluded to, there you go, Bruton Street. You know, you have that traditionalist thing, and then you have this new stuff. And unfortunately, the writing, I feel, is where the ball's getting dropped on everything because, you know, they're taking old-school characters – and it's still not good. And you kind of feel like, okay, well, they got the old characters I know and love back in there. It's going to be good, but then it isn't. And it's because the writing isn't there. But anywho, if you saw the they had a panel, and they introduced God, I can't remember who the guy's name is, but he was directing one of the recent – might have been some of the Mandalorian stuff. And then they announced Kathleen Kennedy, the chick who was supposed to carry Star Wars and Disney into the promised land and carry on Star Wars as heir apparent to George Lucas. And chick came into Disney and Star Wars and just turned it on its ear. Pushing agenda-based stuff and all that kind of good stuff. So when they were announcing these people and bringing them out, everybody was cheering. Yeah! And chairman of the Star Wars branch of Disney, Kathleen Kennedy, yeah! Everything just shut down. I was uncomfortable for the woman. It was like everything was just like, they didn't boo her, but they damn sure didn't clap for her. And she gives this, like, uncomfortable wave, and her chair was all the way the other side of the stage where she came in at. So she does, like, this uncomfortable little wave, stares at the floor, and walks all the way across. And it seemed like it took her 2 hours to walk all the way across because it was so awkward and uncomfortable. And then they brought in you know, other people, and the cheering went right back. So obviously it was a kick in her shorts for what she's done to Star Wars and everything. But they announced that they're going to make more movies with Rey in it. So, you know.
Is he the stormtrooper that decided he didn't want to be a stormtrooper, or is that the chick? Tells you how much I remember.
No, that's the chick. But see, what's funny about that, okay. I'm glad you mentioned that, is that Daisy Ridley, who plays Rey, and John Boyega, who plays Finn. I don't know if Finn's going to be in it or not. But they were two of the more vocal actors in that trilogy saying, hey, don't blame us. We didn't write this shit. And now Daisy Ridley is coming back out on the stage and going, hey, guys, let's get our Star Wars on. And I'm kind of going, well, wait a minute. I thought you said this place was shit. Hold on a second, you know. So they say that's that upcoming blah, blah, blah. It's going to be three films, I believe, based on Rey's stuff. And I'm sure a script has not been written. And it doesn't mean these things are in stone because they've been out. I mean, look at Marvel, for God's sake. How many times have they have announced movies over the years and never made the damn things? So, I mean, the same could be said with this. But the thought of having three more Rey flicks to me is just like, my God, this is not happening, you know. But did you happen to see the trailer for Ahsoka?
No, I haven't. I hardly have watched any actual television, if you will. I've been watching a lot of Netflix movies and such, but I haven't. I mean, we're talking even like nightly news, you know, any news at all. I haven't watched anything. So, no, I haven't.
Well, the Ahsoka trailer, I know a lot of people talk shit, but I thought it looked pretty good. And I don't know if you ever got around to watching Star Wars Rebels that came out on Nickelodeon years ago before.
I don't think I saw it.
That was right. Right before, it might have been right after Disney bought them, because they were on, they weren't on Nickelodeon. They were on the old, Disney Channel? It used to be on cable. And they were on that. And I want to say it was about the time they were buying Star Wars from George Lucas is when all that was either currently running or starting to run or getting close to wrapping up. It was about that same time. I loved it. I thought Rebels was great because it went back to that period shortly after the Republic was sent on and the Empire took over and how the rebellion was kind of coming together and everything. And, you know, it's all animated, so you got to kind of adjust yourself to that. I enjoyed it because, you know, I had playing Stormtroopers. Of course, Thrawn showed up, and if you've read the books from the 90s, Heir to the Throne, of course, from Timothy Zahn, that's the main bad guy was Admiral Thrawn. And he's in Rebels and everything. So they're going to have those guys in the Ahsoka series coming up here, and that way it gives some more connective tissue and everything kind of picks up where Rebels left off, and yeah, it shows some promise. I like Ahsoka. I think she's a pretty decent character. I didn't like her to start with, but she's grown on me pretty good, so looking forward to that. But the rest of the stuff they're announcing, it's like, God, Jesus Christ, dude. It's like there's just nothing there. And it hurts, man. It does, because it's nothing worse than seeing something you enjoy. It's like watching your team lose. You know what I mean? And being Skins and Colts fans, we're well aware of that, you know?
So, right.
We're deep into that feeling, you know. That's like this new Indiana Jones film coming up. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the trailer to that, but I'm watching it, and I'm scratching my head, and I'm going, man, come on. It's got to be better than this.
Man, you're going to have to.
I'm trying to say.
Is that a new one with Harrison Ford, or is it they moved on from his character?
No, it's got him in it. And apparently there's time travel and all that kind of monkey business. And unless your story is based on time travel, kind of like Back to the Future is, time travel is such a sketchy thing to write about. You can never get it correct because, you know, if there's one little thing you do, if you're a minute late or a minute early, your entire life changes. You know what I mean? When you're doing the time travel thing.
Yeah. There was a – consider this maybe a tangent, but real quick, I'll spit it out. I can't think what the movie was, but I felt like I couldn't really wrap my head around the physics involved of it, if you will, you know. But their concept was – it was almost like if you – well, maybe it was just physical contact. So if you happen to come in physical contact with yourself, it would, like, I don't know, cause some kind of a atomic split, you know, and you would either implode or blow up or cease, you know, just something would happen to the matter that makes you up, you know, altogether. I don't know. But I thought that was an interesting take on it because I think that something would get majorly screwed up if you could do that and interact with yourself. Sorry.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, you're the same person regardless, you know, so when you time travel, do you disappear in your current timeline or do you return, you know, does everything freeze and you return to your, you know, it's, you know, it's, and the damn thing about it is when you really stop and get down, like you said, to the physics of it, it's not about the big stuff, it's about the little stuff, you know, did you shave today? Well, you know, when you before you got in the time machine, you were clean shaved, and then when you come back, you've got a beard, and your wife looks at you and goes, "Didn't you just shave?" And you've got to explain to her how, no, despite everything over here being wet and shaving cream being all over the place, no, I did not shave this morning.
Holy crap, Dave! So, you just made me think of something. For the first time, you just made me think of something for the first time in probably my life. And if I ever thought of it before, I certainly forgot about it. But, and this is going to be a moment where the kids got to put their hands over their ears. But can you imagine the fantasy of two chicks, one dude? You could accomplish that without even cheating on your significant other. Because what you would do is have your wife go back in time to a couple hours prior, and then there would be two of her. Imagine that.
Exactly. So, if you're willing to take such a damn gamble, I mean, there are some out there who are just lucky to maintain with the one they have, much less bringing on multiples. Yes. Yeah. I don't know if I'd be willing to take such a risk myself. It's, yeah. Now what do I do? You know, holy shit. You know, how do I forward this thing? I don't want to go back in time. I want to go forward in time. Why? Because I want to get up to around when I'm 86 and about ready to kick the bucket because I don't want to do this for another minute. So, God, that would throw everything off.
Yeah, with me it would backfire anyway, and they'd both just be jealous of the other one and they just argue about it and end up both kicking my ass, you know?
Yeah.
So you're right.
I'll tell you what I would
maybe that's
do,
a bad idea.
I would drink a bottle of whiskey and smoke my cigars. And then when I'm out of cigars and I'm out of whiskey, I go back in time and do it all over again. I never have to buy whiskey and cigars again. I could just keep going back in time and doing that little bit and coming back to regular time. All I'd have to do is document the time when I was smoking the cigars and drinking the whiskey. And I can just keep going back to that evening. Smoke it, drink it. When I'm done, get in the time machine, go back to regular time.
You
know, and chances are when I go back to regular time, I'll have more money because I wouldn't have spent it on whiskey and cigars.
Now, see, now you're getting into something. When I do my daydreaming about time travel, can you just imagine because of all the inflation you hear about, you know, your grandparents talking about how gas is like a nickel, you could do whatever you wanted on, you know, just a few pennies. Can you imagine taking just like a $20 bill and going back in like the 40s and just having a freaking heyday? Ice cream shops, you know,
that.
New suits.
Funny
be amazing.
You mentioned. Me and my dad are avid sports guys, sports memorabilia collectors, ball cards, that kind of stuff. And, of course, the 52 mantle is one of the grailest of the grail cards ever made in the baseball card world. And my dad actually has wrappers, not like LL Cool J wrapper, but like baseball card wrappers that he has collected over the years. And he actually has an album with these wrappers from all of these different years, right? One of which is 1952. And on the front of it, it says 5 cents. And I can't remember who said it one day. It might have been my mom or something. She said the exact same thing. She says, could you imagine going back to 1952 with $20 in your pocket and just buying every baseball card you could find and then bringing it back to now and open it up so it's all in mint condition, all this, all that. So this big conversation comes up about that. Leave it to me. I'm the guy who damn shoots it full of holes, the buzzkill guy. I go, well, you know what the problem would be? I says, we would have to go and find some $20 bills from like 1949 and 1950, which would probably cost us a small fortune to get a $20 bill from those 2 years. Because if you show up in 1952 with a bunch of 2019 20s, they're going to lock you up for counterfeiting.
Oh my
you know
God.
What I mean?
Yeah, absolutely right. Holy shit, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, so then you whip your wallet out. They say, let me see your identification. You whip out your driver's license, and it says, you know, expires 2026. And they're like, okay, he's going to gas chamber. We don't need this asshole walking around here. So you would have to do a lot of homework. I mean, you couldn't wear a members-only jacket when you're traveling. You would have to wear, you know, you would have to, you know, make sure that you couldn't wear canvas boots because nobody wore canvas boots back then. So you couldn't wear deck shoes because nobody had deck shoes back then. Damn sure couldn't wear flip-flops because they were, I still think they're unacceptable footwear. So you would have to find the correct clothes for the period. You would have to find the money. And anything, say, for 70, anything up to, like, 1967 money-wise is pretty easy to get your hands on. But if you got to go back to the 40s and 50s where you got wheat pennies and all that kind of bullshit going on, yeah, you got to get all that stuff together. And, okay, well, I'm going to wear a baseball hat in case it rains. So you put a baseball hat on. And it's for the Seattle Mariners. And the church lady sees the little Neptune pitchfork on your hat and goes, oh, my God, it's Satan's pitchfork. For all the work it would take, and you come back with all these packs of baseball cards, and you sit down at the dining room table, and you open all these things out, waiting to get a mint condition Mickey Mantle, and you don't get shit. That would be my luck. After all of that, you know what I mean? There was a movie called Time After Time, and I think I've spoken on it about it here on the show before, but it had Malcolm McDowell played H.G. Wells, and David Warner, who recently passed away, who played the bad guy in every 80s and 90s flick, he played Jack the Ripper, and Mary Steenburgen played a bank teller, and what happened was H.G. Wells built the time machine, and Jack the Ripper found out about it. So he jumped in the time machine and went back to modern day, which was, you know, 1980, 1979, 1980 ballpark, and continued being Jack the Ripper, just in modern day, right? So when David Warner gets out of the time machine, he shirt, tie, the whole damn nine yards, doesn't notice anything. Well, Malcolm McDowell, who plays H.G. Wells, builds another time machine or had another time machine, a prototype or whatever. He gets in it, zips to the same year, but he's wearing like the Sherlock Holmes with the plaid vest and the little damn ear flap hat and all that kind of stuff. And people are looking at him like, what in the hell's wrong with you? So he goes into the bank to exchange money. And Mary Steenburgen is the teller, so he walks in there and hands her a bunch of damn bills from the 1880s, a bunch of, you know, British bills from the 1880s. And she's like, these are collector's items. You know, I can't cash these things. So, yeah, I mean, it's something to consider when you talk about time travel, man. It's, I don't even know if the juice is worth the squeeze, to be honest with you.
To be quite honest with you, time travel to me, and it goes back to what I first said about you really just, maybe you said it. You got to be careful. You know, when I say careful, you got to make it entertaining enough to be, you know, somewhat like at least someone go, yeah, okay, I'll buy that. Obviously, anything is going to be a stretch. But here's what I'm talking about. Terminator. Okay, so it's kind of like, if somebody goes back, and I can't even remember, like I know there's a couple different storylines, right? There's the Reese guy that goes back, and he ends up being what's-his-face, his dad, but yet he's really from the future. So there it's like, okay, how the hell do you really expect that to happen? You know, but it's like there's so many things that where it's like if you go back in time and interact a certain way, like if there's a situation that happens, okay, and someone goes back to try to undo it, well, then if you undo it, you completely undo the entire part where you had to go back in time to begin with. So then don't you just start back from square one? You know,
you just keep repeating it over and over.
Did you just put yourself in an endless loop?
Conversation with your dad going, okay, look, I don't know how to explain this, but you're my dad. And I know I'm 17 years older than you. You're my dad. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to take all your clothes off, go into this time travel thing, go break into a store, find some clothes, track down my mom, who's pretty hot back in those days, knock the bottom out of it, and make sure you finish the job.
Right.
You know, you picture the conversation John Connor had to have with that guy. It's like, I know it sounds strange. No, it doesn't sound strange. I think you need to be institutionalized. You know what I mean? Why are we following you? You know? Why are we doing this?
Exactly.
That's what Back to the Future. I know everybody loves Back to the Future. I'm not bad. I've only seen the first movie. Never seen the other two. And though it was an entertaining flick, I still am unnerved every time I watch it because Michael J. Fox goes back in time. And if he didn't know that was his mom, I think I'd be easier to digest it. But knowing that he knows that it's a younger version of his mom, and then she's trying to jump his bones in the car, you don't want to hump your own mom, of course, unless you're maybe from certain areas of the United States. But let's say you dodge it and you don't hump your mom and you go back in time and you're back in regular time. How can you look at your mom the same way? You're like, damn, you tried to hump some random dude in the damn car. Ho? The hell's wrong with you? You telling me I got to be in at 9:30? I got a curfew and you tried to hump some random dude in a car?
Yeah, good point.
You know, and there's so many things. And you're bound to slip. As a matter of fact, I remember Michael J. Fox. Remember they used to have the Pepsi Free thing? And that was kind of like a Pepsi, what they would call a Coke Zero now, was Pepsi Free back in the 80s. He goes in there and tells the guy, hey, I'll take a Pepsi Free. And the guy looks at him and goes, no, you're going to pay for it. That would be me. I would slip up and I'd, you know, be back there in 1952 or something and go, hey man, where's the nearest Walmart? Huh?
Yeah. right?
Where's the target at? What are you skeet shooting? No, target. I don't know what you're talking about, buddy. Security? Not to mention the diet and the dialect. I think it's been a while where I was talking about if George Washington was to come to now, because we were talking about how somebody from 100 years ago would see how things are now and they just would be totally beside themselves. I says, you know, they probably wouldn't have time because taking a drink of water would probably kill them. The food that we have versus to the food you know what I mean? So imagine drinking milk that ain't pasteurized. You know, here we are drinking milk for 40, 50 years of living that's pasteurized, and then you go straight from the tit milk that's been sitting in the barn all day. Kill your ass before you know it. So, if you've ever wondered why I don't write books about time travel, this is why, because I'm just too damn analytical for it. Just can't. Yeah. Or let's say
there was another dump. I felt like they did an okay job with, wasn't there one that had Denzel Washington, and he was like, he was some kind of a cop or like a div maybe, and I feel like he was killed. I'm going to botch this. All I know is they had this pretty decent concept, and I believe it had to do with figuring out a way to bend light, and that's what allowed them to go back. And then furthermore, I don't think there was a way for them to actually interact with anything. Like, they could, but they were kind of like, I'll put it this way. I remember a specific scene where Denzel Washington arranges these magnetic letters on someone's refrigerator so that they'll see this message. He couldn't deliver it directly. It was like an indirect way that he had to go about giving a message. I think maybe what he was doing, maybe he didn't die. Maybe he was saving somebody else's life. Like, he went back in time to investigate her murder, and I think there were rules about, you know, engaging or anything, and or maybe he couldn't even do certain things, but he kind of broke those rules, and he tried to give her these subtle clues so that she would pick up on it and maybe avoid being killed altogether. Now that I've spoiled the entire movie without even knowing the name of it. Anyway, I think it's an interesting concept. But, it's tricky, man. Tricky subject.
Well, what was the other, the Van Damme one? Time Cop. Yeah. Where he can kind of go back before you do something. Christ knows, I would have been nice for him to come back to 1996 and grab my keys and say, "You've had too much to drink, Dave. Don't go driving." Would have saved me a couple grand. A lot of humiliation, you know. But...
Well, that was
the
one where that left a funny feeling with me because, and not in a good way, because didn't he lose his family? Like, he lost his wife and his daughter, and it had been, like, years. Like, he had gone, I don't know, 20 or so years or whatever. Well, maybe that's a stretch. Maybe it wasn't that long. But it seemed like a lot of time had gone by, and then he had the opportunity to go back in time and – did he correct it? Like, did he make it so they weren't killed? And then he went back to current time. Yeah, but it was like he went back to current time, like where he came from, and it was like all of a sudden his family was there, like nothing ever happened. And I'm thinking to myself, didn't he just, like, miss out on, like, 15 years of, you know, to them, it's like nothing ever happened. But he just went back to where he came from. So what do you really get
there?
I mean, I
get
back, but...
I was coloring my coloring book in my kindergarten class, and next thing you know, I'm walking across the stage, and they're turning this tassel thing on this stupid-looking hat. But I can tell you, in all seriousness, in the event that I ever did have the ability to time travel, I wouldn't try to fix things, because, as I've always said, it takes the bad stuff along with the good stuff to get to where you're at right now.
It's learned. It's all about learning.
Correct. I mean, you know, when you look at your family and everything, you know, hey, you know, you broke up with a girl in your junior high year or your junior year in school, and it, you know, tore you up and everything, but it had to happen to get to where you're at right now, because had it not happened, and perhaps you're still with that girl from your junior year, you wouldn't have your kids, or you wouldn't be living where you're at, or you might even be dead because she turned out to be a psychopath. You know, there's so many different things, so no matter where you're at, you always got to accept the fact that all the pain counts just as much as all the happiness. You know what I mean? So when it comes down
and
to
see,
going
what's
back.
What's funny about that? Yeah, sorry, but what's funny about that is I have a bad habit of complaining about, I will look back upon my high school years and my early college years and just rake myself over the coals and constantly, you know, tell my wife that I wish I had that, you know, to do over again. Because, for example, you know, I mean, we'll put it this way. I barely graduated high school. I'm not kidding. I had a below a 2.0 GPA. I had several Fs and had to take classes over. You know, that's, I was always going to summer school and whatnot. And, you know, it literally came down to an essay on a final on the very last day of my senior year to find out if I was even going to pass. And I did, by the way. And then I thought, well, I'll start over and I'll go to Vincennes. I was studying some really cool stuff. And it was like electrical engineering technology. And then I got into a little bit of robotics. And it was cool. But my dumbass wanted to party all the time. And I'll be damned if, you know, getting my first taste of freedom and being out of my mom's house, was I going to be sitting in a lab doing a bunch of lab work, you know, and, you know, it wasn't mandatory. He was like, no, you guys can go ahead and go if you want. The hell with this. I'm going to go party. There's a beer with my name on it, maybe 10 of them with my name on it. And, you know, when you're older, I'm thinking, God dang it, man, what an opportunity wasted. But, you know, in the meantime, I did later go back to school. I finished. I even got my master's thanks to where I work now. And so my wife will give me a hard time, and she'll say, well, you know, basically, if you could go back and redo that, you probably wouldn't have ended up meeting me. So are you happy with, you know, meeting somebody else? I'm like, damn it. Why do you have to do this to me?
This isn't about you,
right.
Damn it.
You know?
But it's the truth. I mean,
but you know, it's you're right. It's like you learn things. I learned how, you know, how to appreciate doing that later on in life, and just, you know, it's something that I can take and I can tell my kids about, and it's a lesson that I, you know, it's kind of humbled me in a sense, and I appreciate now, like, the opportunities I had, what I was able to do later on in life, but. Not to preach or anything like that, but just you made some good points, so I elaborated.
Yeah, because, you know, if you think about it, you know, take, for instance, like myself, you know, I went through that 3-4 year patch of my life where it was just a blur, and I was doing a lot of stupid things. I was doing a lot of bad things. I was doing a lot of bad things to myself. 25, almost 26, I had reached a point where I was just like, you know what? I've got all these checklists. You know, I did this. I jumped off of that. I ran from this. I did this 3 times in one night. You know what I mean? And by the time I turned 26, I had a lot of my system. And I don't know how many people, and I use people, I mean, I know guys who turn 45 and for some out of nowhere reason, they go out and buy a motorcycle. Then they get a different haircut. And then getting tans. And next thing you know, they're not coming home and they're destroying the 20-some-odd years that they had built in their families, because at 45, they're just then getting the wild out. You know what I mean? And or yep. I don't know, I've seen a million times where, you know, a friend's wife has put on weight and she's carried the weight, you know, they got 2-3 kids and she's, you know, 40-50 pounds heavier than what she wants to be. And she says, you know, I want to lose the weight. And the husband gets behind it. It's like, yeah, you really ought to lose that weight. You know, man, hey, I got you. So he helps her, you know, dieting and the whole damn nine yards. She loses the weight and then goes totally ape shit. You know what I mean? And doesn't come home at night, is out partying with a bunch of 20-year-olds. And all of a sudden you're going, well, damn, you know, you were in better shape. Heavier, you're yeah. more stable, you know what I mean? And so when it goes back, when you talk about going back in time and fixing things, I don't think I would, just because if you ask me, it's easier to learn from that lesson, and perhaps if you have the opportunity, apologize, which apologies are just words, they don't mean shit, but it's the thought of you walking up to another person, taking the time and saying, hey, you know what? I was a dick. I know you might, my words mean nothing to you, but I want you to know when I put my head down on the pillow, I realized that I was a dick. And you walk away and you let them be the harbingers of grudge and find out whether they want to keep carrying the grudge or not. But, you know, those experiences, you learn how to be a human being. You learn how to be a good dad, a good leader, a good husband, a good whatever, through screwing up. So, you know, the thought of, you know, going back in time and saying, hey, you know, I'm going to go back to, you know, November 6th when I told, you know, Marianne Rottencrotch that, you know, this, that, and the other. Nah. Hell with that. Now, I'll tell you what I would do with it, if I had one, is I would go back and I'd answer a lot of these stupid-ass questions we talk about here on this show. Like, take for instance, I would angle the damn time machine to be behind the grassy knoll on, what was it, November 20th, 22nd, 1963, when Kennedy was shot. And I would stick my head out the time machine, and I would see some guy with a rifle going, I'd be goddamn, it was the grassy knoll. And I'd take a picture of him on my phone, lean back in, press modern day, and ba-bang. I'd get out of there in a heartbeat, come back and go, okay, fix this one. I would go back and check out, you know, I'd land somewhere in prehistoric, and I'd say, yep, I'd be goddamn, dinosaurs got feathers, picture, okay, back to time, yeah, hey, look. You're right. Dinosaurs got some goddamn feathers. Check that one off the list. You know, hey, wouldn't you like to go back and meet Jesus? Yeah, I would. If for no other reason to get an actual picture of the guy so then we could finally settle the debate on what Jesus actually looked like. You know, because everybody's out there drawing these different pictures. Here I am looking for this stately-looking guy with the nice flowing hair and the nice trimmed beard and everything, and it turns out, you know, Jesus looked like George Costanza or something. You know, I would land on the deck of New York, the Noah's Ark, and I'm going, hey, ain't no goddamn animals on this thing. Who are you? Never mind. Oop. Hi, are you Noah? Who are you? Hey, click, thanks for the pic. Have a good night. Careful of rough seas. You got 40 days of this shit. You know, and that would be me. I would go back and, you know, because I would go back and just find guys like Luke Bryan sitting on his porch with a guitar, and I just go, hey, how you doing? Are you Luke Bryan? Yes, sir. Hey, look, not for nothing. Your music sucks. Just don't do it, man. Get your job at Panera. Jump back in the time machine. See?
Now you're making me bring up the I'll bring up the reference to good Lord, Deadpool 2 at the very end when he gets that time machine fixed and he walks by himself who is riding Green Lantern and shoots him in the head and he goes, you're welcome.
You're welcome. Yeah. That is so epic. You know what I mean? But that is exactly the kind of stuff I would do. I would just go around and I would say, I'd go to the damn, into the damn, Colts stadium. And I'd say, hey, Mr. Irsay, hi, how you doing? My name's Dave. Look, your son here, he's plotting, and he wants to get this guy, Andrew Luck. Hell of a good guy. He's going to play for about 8 years, get his mind, body, and soul scrambled from a bad line that your son put in place. In the meantime, Peyton Manning is going to go to the Broncos and win everything, despite his injury. I'm going to get back on my time.
I'll take a more morbid approach, and I'll say, sometimes you just kind of go with you never can be hurt by it if you never had it. So it's almost like I'd want to go back and put, like, some kind of a hazardous roadblock, some sort of detour on I-70 or wherever the hell they came from that cold night from Baltimore, and just, let them get stopped right there as they're trying to leave Baltimore with all their Mayflower trucks, so they don't even get their asses here to Indy. Although they did give us some Manning years, so there's that. I can't be that. I'm a little bitter at the past few years, but not to get on the football rant. That's a whole different show. But
yeah.
So gotta
love
the Colts.
All the things, though, that you would – all right, yeah, another good example. I would zap myself to Berlin and, like, right around April 20th or whenever the hell that was, and I would just walk up and look down and go, yeah, that's Hitler, all right. Take the phone out, pick, get the time machine, go back. Hey, that was Hitler, guys. Here, wasn't the body double. That was him. You could go back to Ford Theater in 1865 and go, that's President in the damn time machine, and ease on down the road. Or maybe perhaps I would go to Pearl Harbor and say, hey, guys, not for nothing. Keep an eye out tonight. If you don't mind. just watch. But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I would go back and not necessarily – and those are kind of altering things. But I would be more on a verification thing. I would go back and get on that damn boat and find out whether Robert Wagner hip-checked damn Natalie Wood into the damn water because he was pissed off about her porking Christopher Walken. And find out if she actually just fell off the boat on her own because she was drunk, or if he just hip-checked her into the damn swamp, those are the things I would do. I'd be out there finding all that kind of stuff. Or maybe like this Oak Island thing that I spend every goddamn Tuesday night watching, and they never find anything. I would go back to that island and just watch them bury the shit. So that way I can come back to now, go to Lagina Brothers and go, okay, guys, this is not where they buried the shit. You see over there? Yeah, right where that tree's at? That's where they were burying the shit. Just want to let you know. So in that way, at least ways you guys could dig over there, find the shit, and then the show will get a little more entertaining. Thanks. And maybe then I could find out a little more about Dr. John's Bigfoot and that kind of shit.
There you go. Good call.
Or, Area 51, right? Nobody knew there was an Area 51 until they built the goddamn thing, right? So, since I know where Area 51 is, I can just go back in time, land there, while they're building the goddamn thing,
right,
and look around and go, hey, what y'all doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's the little green
I was
going to
say
right
show up before they get there. I was going to say show up before they get there with some popcorn, like, hey, how's it going, guys? What are you all doing?
Yeah. Yeah. Show up on the moon maybe about 2 minutes before the Apollo lands. So that way, they when they get out, you're like, son of a bitch, I told Dr. John they got on the moon. Come back and, John, just got back from the moon. Here's the pics. I was just there. They walked on the moon. Take the tinfoil hat off, goddammit. Oh, man. Yeah, that would be me. I would be a wreck with a time machine. I would. That, and I'd probably be spending a lot of time fixing, take for instance tonight in our conversation in the green room, I probably would not eat what I ate tonight. it's the little things. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah. I'll go back and correct a fender bender, save myself a few hundred dollars and an increase. Yeah.
You know, you remember when you picked that box up and it threw your back out for 2 weeks? You know? Or when you did that and ended up in 7 stitches, just leave that alone. I mean, it's not going to alter history that bad if you don't get the 7 stitches, but let's just don't do that. And then we'll get past that time, and then booyah, then we'll come back to time, and hey, you save yourself some pain and a scar. You know, how cool would that be? Come back, you're like, goddamn, the scar's gone. That's because it never happened. That would be
now the other concept is move forward. It ended up kind of having a failed, I don't know, it was more of a malicious type of thing, and ended up getting corrected because he went back, you know, I guess another movie I'm spoiling, whatever, but wasn't the movie called Click with Adam Sandler? And he had the capability with the remote to move forward. So if he was having a boring night with the in-laws, he'd go, oh, man, get me out of this. He would just fast forward, and boom, it'd be done. He was like, shit, I can get this. Now,
yeah,
I wouldn't want to do that all the time, but let me tell you what, I don't like driving 16 hours to Florida and back. So that would be a good opportunity for that to fast forward.
Yeah, I mean, dentist visits, if you can just, hey, and then, you know, you get on the other side of it and your teeth are filled and you're like, hey, okay, that was neat. Colonoscopy.
Hell yeah.
You know, yeah, it's going out and being the only guy tagging with your wife when all the girls from her work are going out, and now instead of looking like her husband, you look like the one gay dude in the bunch. Yeah, just fast forward through that. Yeah, hey, I'm over it. Hey, you turn on the TV and the Skins are down by 4 touchdowns. I just fast forward it to tonight's game.
Right.
I don't need to agonize anymore over this. Let me just go ahead and just get to a better game tonight.
Yep.
Yeah. Time travel, I would be a menace. I would
Well, you could go back and see both of our teams from having wins. I don't think you did a bit of good for either one of us.
Absolutely not. You'd have to travel all kinds of damn ways to get our stuff back in line. Good God. You know, go out there to Joe Theismann, lean over and say, hey, man, keep your eye on Lawrence Taylor tonight, okay? Because the Skins ain't been the same since Theismann got his leg broke. So, and you know the thing is about the time. Let's just throw this out there. That let's just say you were given a fully functional time machine, okay? And whoever gave you said apparatus would stop and look at you and go, you know what? This thing will run forever. But you got to use it responsibly. Wouldn't there still be an urge, once you went back and found out the dinosaurs did indeed have feathers, and you found out that Jesus looked like George Costanza, and you found out, you know, all these things, that there was no animals on Noah's Ark and shit, wouldn't there be an urge to grab ass? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Just to, you know, hey, you remember when so-and-so did this to me at work Monday? well, I'm fixing to ass his day up. And you go back there and you, like, you know, you spray damn aerosol adhesive to his damn, you know, desk or something like that before he comes in, just so he sticks to everything, or, you know, door shut or something like that. And then you get the time machine and go back, so that way you come into work that day and you're just like, son of a bitch. That would be me. I would be,
yep.
I would be pranking the hell out of people. Or, worse yet, I would be the guy that would show up and, like, I would call you up and say, hey, Tim, I'm coming to see you, man. All right, dude, well, you know, have a careful trip, Dave, man. Looking forward to seeing you, man. You know, it's 14 hours worth of driving, dude. You're going to, you know, and the next thing you know, tap, 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 tap. You know, I wonder who that is. Tim,
yes.
Didn't I just talk to you? Didn't I just talk to you? You said you've been on the road?
Nah. Don't give Elba any ideas. That was his first time show up on my door.
He'd have the rubber mallet and the Snickers bar ready to go, right? Yes. I would be a disaster. But see, that's my problem, is that I probably could find the cure for Ebola, but I have way too much fun tearing things apart to, it's like the criminal genius, but not criminal. You know, I'm the guy who's doing innovative pranking and that kind of stuff, instead of just like using all that thought and resources for doing something good. I'm like Jokey Smurf. Think about Jokey Smurf. Here's a little Smurf tangent for you. Yeah, you know Jokey Smurf, right?
I don't think so. I don't think I've ever heard of Jokey Smurf. He's
got to
be a later character.
Did you ever watch the Smurfs? You got to be the only person on the planet who didn't watch the Smurfs. Did you watch the Smurfs? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I watched
right.
The Smurfs, Papa Smurf. You had the chick. I can't think of her name. You had there was the handyman guy. You had one dude that was kind of. There was a smarty pants guy that you wanted to punch in the face, and then there was kind of the a-hole guy. Yeah,
that was Brainy.
The mushrooms, and Gargamel, and there was the cat.
Jokey,
I don't remember
was the one
a joke
around with the package all the time. He was the one to walk around with a box, and used to always say, "It's a surprise," and they open the box and it blows up in their face.
Yeah, or it would be. Was he the one that would always squirt everybody with the flour or something like that?
Yeah. That was Jokey.
Okay. Yep.
That would be me. Look at the amount of work that Jokey puts in to screw with people. Because once he blows up the gift in his hand, he hands somebody over, they open it up and kablam, and he it's a surprise and gets the laugh out of it. He has to go back and get another box, wrap it again with the bow, put more explosives in it. I mean, this is a guy who's dedicated to his craft. This is a guy who works himself to the nub trying to prank. I mean, you've got to give kudos to the guy. I mean, industrious. But again, if he was to take the same knowledge and energy and maybe find a way to run Gargamel off for good, he could save all the Smurfs, but he's too busy making explosive boxes to blow up fellow Smurfs and shit. Unfortunately,
you know,
I
think I'd be a combination of the Smurfs. Unfortunately, I hate to say it, but you'd have to put me in the category with Papa Smurf, depending on who the crowd is, you know, but I think that any father who's ever been on long-distance trips, you know, and this will prove to you that I know the Smurfs. Granny's in the queue, by the way. I can remember when they would be on some kind of a trek going through wherever, and one of them, who was rather annoying, would keep saying, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" And he would say, "Not far now." And if I don't, you know, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that on a car ride, or how much time do we have left? How many hours? What does that mean? Well, I don't understand that. I don't know how much that – I don't know what 60 miles is. What? I don't know what to tell you. It's a trip to Toys R Us and back, for God's sakes, you know. It's that distance 10 times. Try going to Toys R Us and back. Imagine going to Toys R Us and back 10 times. That's how long it's going to be, okay? Cool it. You know, so I'd be Papa Smurf. I've done some pretty cool things. I like my – I'm not a carpenter by any means. I'm not – I would never feel comfortable doing any kind of contracting work for someone. But I feel that I'm pretty handy around the house. And I got the
right. –
so I like the handyman Smurf. I'm definitely down with being the Smurf that sleeps all the time because I think I remember one who basically just sleeps. I am totally there. I want that dude's job. I don't know how he's supporting the rest of the crew, what kind of an economic – system they have there, but man, if I can get away with taking naps, I'm doing it. So you got him. I can be a grumpy pain in the ass a lot, so there's four of them that I got. I'd have to be some kind of a bipolar Smurf, just a little bit of everything, you know.
Well, if you recall, they had the one Smurf that was a little androgynous, the one who used to walk around with the mirror.
Yeah,
they should have put him on the Bloodline camp. What the hell? Oh, Vanity. That's who he was. Vanity Smurf. Because he was always looking himself in the mirror.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then there was...
You're better with the names.
And leave it to me.
The one with the long hair.
Smurfette.
Yeah, there was Smurfette. Okay. She was the only female Smurf.
Right. That's right. Smurfette.
So, Granny, I'm glad you
joined us. I'm sorry I'm late, guys. I was in a meeting, and, you know, and then there was Happy Smurf and Grumpy Smurf and, you know, let's see.
What's funny is Papa Smurf. To get on the show tonight, and she gets right in on the Smurf portion of tonight's show.
Well, you know, I wanted to call in too and just kind of give an update on how my kiddo was doing, you know. So he's adjusting. He's adjusting quite well. I think it was really a good situation for him to be there, really.
Good. Well,
And it's kind of funny, guys, because he'll call David or I and he'll say, well, guess what I had for breakfast or guess what I had for lunch or guess what I had for dinner? And, you know, like one morning it was biscuits and gravy, you know, and stuff. And David says, well, that's just not right. And he'll just laugh about it. And and David says, like, well, when can I move in, you know, and be taken care of like this? And one night they had chicken fried steak for supper, and David says, oh, that definitely isn't right, you know, and he'll just laugh about it, you know.
Didn't have to cook it, didn't have to clean it up, didn't have to haul the trash. I mean, he's going to be right there where he meets other people. He'll make friends and all this stuff. I mean, hell, look it up.
Well, he's around other people like himself, you know? I mean, he doesn't feel like he's an outcast.
And he can learn different things, different coping mechanisms and all that kind of jazz from these other people he's interacting with. And he won't feel so damn isolated, you know, like... You know, hey, I only have myself to fall back on. He'll be able to go out
and
there
and he got to keep his dog with him, too, you know. So that was a number one plus on top of everything else, you know. So.
All right, think about my Aunt Nancy just recently, and I mentioned it, she moved down here to Wilmington, which is about, you know, 45 minutes south of me. My Uncle Charlie, of course, passed in March of 20. And I love my Aunt Nancy to death. Well, the house that they were staying in, it was a nice house, but it was just Aunt Nancy. And, you know, after Uncle Charlie passed, you know, it's just kind of like, shucks, you know, I go home and he's not there and I've got grass to cut and, you know, I've got to, you know, pressure wash the house and I've got to, you know, clean the garage and I've got all these things. I've got to make, you know, light bill and blah, 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 blah. you know, all the things you do when you live in a house, you know, weed whacking, trimming the damn bushes, mowing the yard, changing the damn air filter and damn heat, you know, the air handler, you know, all those little odd things you have to do. Well, now she lives in, it's not a senior community, but what it is she has an apartment, and it's a nice one, and everything is paid for in one lump sum. She pays one lump sum a month, and it's lights, cable, water, whatever, okay? And then she can walk out of her apartment, go across the parking lot, and eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And she can eat what she wants. And she doesn't have to clean it. She doesn't have to cook it. She doesn't have to go to the grocery store. So think about taking all that stuff away, mowing your yard, hauling trash, you know what I mean, paying the light bill, yak, 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 all that stuff that goes into it is now gone, or paid in one lump sum. Dude, talk about some free-ass time. Yeah, I'd be a menace. I would be Menace Smurf. I would be Jackass Smurf. But, yeah, it's good to hear he's adapting to it. And you're going to find that as he adapts more, the phone calls will be further apart, unfortunately. Kind of what
happened. Well, I mean, I still talk to him, like, not every day, but, you know, sometimes two or three times a week, you know, he'll call me, you know, and or I'll call him, you know, and or he'll call me and say, oh, guess what we had for supper tonight, you know, and I mean, it's just kind of, you know, but, you know, I know he's eating better than what he was when he was living at home by himself. I mean, you know, I do know that much. And the nice thing about that place is if they have something that he doesn't really care for or just doesn't like, they'll fix him something else, or there's a little food truck right across the street that he can walk to and get something to eat. So, you know,
yeah.
So he's still kind of independent, but he's there if he needs the help. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's got the help there for him when he needs it.
Yeah, because there ain't so many damn Hot Pockets you can eat before you finally short circuit. And having the ability to have a variety of chow and have all three chows, that's something I don't get. I mean, let's face it, I don't know about you guys.
And snacks three times a day, so, you know.
Right. Because normally with
and
me.
They do his laundry. They come clean his apartment once a week. So, you know.
If I get somebody to wash my floors, I'd be
Dave
signed
wants
up
to know when he. Dave wants to know when he can move in.
Hell yeah. Hell, I'm washing everybody else's drawers around here. There's something wrong with that picture. You know what I mean? Hell, I would be willing just to get the grass thing off. I hate cutting grass.
Yeah.
I think it's
you
just
have
I'm allergic to everything outside. Yeah. Yeah, your wheels are turning too, Andy Tim.
Yeah.
It don't sound half bad.
Give me that breakfast any day. I'm there, man.
I'd be.
But it's kind of funny because when David said, well, when can I move in? And Anthony says, well, Dad, unfortunately, you can't live here. And David says, well, why not? And because he is part of a what they call a PASS program, you know, like through Summit Community Care, you have to have in order to be able to live there, you have to be a client of like one of these PASS, you know, organizations like Summit or whatever, you know, you have to meet certain qualifications in order to be able to even live there, basically.
Right.
So,
right.
Like, he's a client of Summit. Yeah, because since he can't get the Medicaid waiver, you know, he has the PASS coordinator thing through Summit, you know, that gives him the option to be able to live there.
Right, because if they didn't do that, you'd have a bunch of yahoos moving in there just because they don't want to hit
mm-hmm.
a lick. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But good to hear he's adapting. And, you know, as always, send nothing but the best his way. And
like I said, I shared his address on the, you know,
yeah.
on the group chat. So anybody that wants to send him a card, feel free, you know, to send him one. I actually called into Brady Hicks' show last night on In the Room, and of course Stroh and Brady and Howard were giving me grief like always, but that's okay. But, you know, they were kind of teasing Granny, and Anthony says, I told him about it. He says, well, it was good you were getting roasted, Mom. And I said, no, it wasn't good. Granny didn't need to be roasted. Not that time of the year to be roasted, you know. So, well, I'm going to share a quick story with you guys. You know, I was supposed to pick up Bobby Fulton at the airport April 1st to take him to a wrestling show here in Arkansas. Well, God love Bobby Fulton. He called me at 3:30 that morning and says, Lori, this is Bobby Fulton. I'm sorry to wake you up early, dear, but I've got a problem. And I said, well, Bobby, what is it? He was supposed to fly out of Columbus, Ohio, into Atlanta, Georgia, and then to XNA. Well, Delta screwed up his airline flight, and he was going to be on a standby flight. And even if he could have made it to XNA from Atlanta, he wouldn't have been able to get into XNA until 11:30 that night. And by then, the show would have already been over with. So we're going to reschedule Bobby at a later time. But with that being said, because Bobby was our new general manager in charge that night, Granny got to be interim general manager, and I kind of got to be in charge, and I got to come out from behind the curtain and put good old crybaby Bobby Burns, one of the Texas Outlaws, in his place that night before the show started.
Oh, look at you.
And I'm like walking out from behind the curtain. I'm shaking my finger. I said, Bobby Burns, hi, baby Bobby Burns, you get back to that ring because I got something to say to you, and I got something to say to the DCW fans. And he's standing over there across the ring looking at me, blah, 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 you know, while I'm talking. And I told the fans why Bobby couldn't make it that night, and how apologetic he was. But I said, with that being said, fans, per Bobby Fulton's request, Granny Hulkster is in charge tonight. And I said, I'm going to be putting you and your Texas Outlaws in your place, Bobby Burns. And I said, oh, one more thing before I forget. Granny will be watching you tonight and taking notes.
I can just picture Granny doing that walk down the aisle like Vince McMahon, got a little pencil-thin mustache, grabs the mic and starts talking tonight.
So they were teasing me about having a date with Bobby Fulton. And I said, no, I'm not going to have no date with Bobby Fulton. I said, besides, I said, my husband would have been with us in the vehicle when we were going to the show. And they said, oh, your husband's that way? And I said, no, he's not that way. But I said, I'm very happily married, guys. I'm not having a date with Bobby Fulton. And then, of course, Stroh, he says, we're going to start calling her Fantastic Granny. And I'm like, oh, my God, Stroh, are you serious?
You know, Tim, this brings us full circle right here. Granny, we give her the time machine so she can go ahead and have the three-way with Bobby Fulton and then go back in time so it just, like, never happened. We were just talking about that. Hot diggity damn, Granny. You have totally completed the circle tonight. That's amazing.
Yeah, and the nice thing is, because Bobby is going to be coming back to a future show, and I'm sure that I will be the one picking him up at the airport when we actually are able to get him here for another show. I asked him if it would be all right if I kept his phone number so that when we do get him here for another show, I can be in contact with him to find out when he lands and everything like that so I can make arrangements to pick him up at the airport. So, you know, and he was okay with that, so.
That's cool. Outstanding. Yeah, well, hopefully he'll be able to get back around because I know the whole airport thing right now is all kind of janky for everybody. They can get their shit together to save them, so I totally get it. So just as Granny joins us, we are reaching that point. It's about time we go around and kick it around the room, and we got about 8-9 minutes to play with. So, yeah, we'll go ahead and go around the room real quick and do our parting shots and everything. And I say real quick, I mean, we got a little space of time. But, Granny, you want to lead us off on some parting shots, even though you just
well,
got to it?
I'm just glad I was able to call in, even if it was for a very short time. I apologize, guys. I haven't been on the past few weeks. Things have been a little crazy, you know. I'm trying to catch up on my sleep for one thing. You know, I've got Anthony settled, and I got the car situation pretty much finalized. I pretty much got that taken care of. So, you know, I'm just trying to catch up on my sleep. But I hope everybody has a great rest of the week. And I love you guys, and I've missed you all, and you know, and everything. So I hope everybody's doing well.
Yeah, it's good to have you. And like you said, it's been kind of a, 23 so far has been pretty brutal. I mean, it's been bad luck, at least ways on my end. It just seems like every time I turn around, it's something else. As a matter of fact, I backed the tractor out of the shed yesterday to mow the grass real quick, and the battery's dead in the lawnmower. And it's like, damn, you know, is there anything at all that can just fall into freaking place sometime? You know, something isn't going to hell. So yeah, it's been a tough year, and you know, we've had to skip a couple of shows along the way just to accommodate that. Because I mean, hell, we've come up to it on some Wednesday nights where we all come together, you know, at 7 o'clock, and we're like, okay, well, you know, Tim's throwing up, I'm not home yet, and Granny's halfway across the state. You know, it's well, let's just call the show tonight. You know, and it happens more. That's why, you know, I look at, you know, guys like Stroh and Dr. John that do these 5-6 podcasts a week, and I have no idea how they do it. It's all I can do to actually be in somewhere standing still for an hour and a half once a week.
You're here.
So, yeah, I totally understand. But it's good to hear your voice. Good to have you back. And, again, kick some good vibes Anthony's way. Let him know what we're thinking. And I'm trying to put together a little goodie package. It might take me another month or two to get some stuff together, but I'm trying to gather some
stuff. Oh, that's fine. I'm sure he will very much enjoy it. So.
Yeah, he's a fine young man. So, yeah. But, yeah, Granny, thank you so much. Good to hear your voice, young lady.
Good to hear
you
all, too.
Absolutely. Tim, we're going to kick it over to you or the alpacas. I didn't even mention the alpacas tonight. God damn, I called you Todd twice. I F-bombed at the beginning of the show, and you didn't even mention alpacas. I'm going to total wreck to me.
Yeah. It threw me off so much that I couldn't even do the proper Todd intro. Any other time when I want to pick up and mock Todd, I got his intro down pat. You threw me off, which would have been a perfect opportunity, and I kind of botched the intro. So we were just all out of sorts for a couple minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it was but way off kilter.
The alpacas are doing
fine. How was your vacation? How was spring break, Tim?
Spring break was it was actually great, and I'm glad that I was feeling better probably the day before we took off. I think I was still a little and that showed because when I was loading up the car with everyone's stuff, it was like I was kind of stopping. And Kim thought I was, you know, she was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I just need to take a break. I said, I'm fine. I will get the car loaded, but I need to take a break because I'm not quite there yet. You know, it's like the inertia.
I saw the pictures. Looked like y'all had a great time, so.
Oh, yeah. When we got down there, it was a blast. It was about in the 90s. We were in it was a very cozy home, and it was like one of those type of I'll just use like the word illusion or so, because you go in this neighborhood, it was so quiet, and you were so far removed from any highway traffic or anything. There was no sounds at all. But, you know, we weren't that far from civilization either. There was a very small town right there. But anyway, it was like you wouldn't have known by rolling up to this house. But they had really spent the money in their backyard. It was an Airbnb we stayed at. And
yeah.
It was like it had its own little labyrinth as a pool. That was really awesome. And then we went canoeing in this spring water that was like, you know, going down there, I told Kim, I'm like, I'm not doing that. Are you kidding me? On a canoe in water in Florida? There's alligators all over the place. And she was like, no. She said, I looked it up. It's apparently it's the spring is a bit too cold for them, and they don't like it. So they stay away from it. And the water, it's weird because you wouldn't know it by kind of glancing out over it from afar. But when you're in it, it's clear water. It's like crystal clear. You can see all kinds
wow.
of like grass and stuff below, but it was clear. And the spring, like there's a current to it, but it's so slow and so calm. But what people do is they get in and they go upstream. And the neighborhood had its own docking area or, you know, area where you can, like, drop in and stuff. So you go in upstream, like, I don't know, we probably went a mile, something like that. I mean, it took us a good hour or so to do that, to go upstream. And then you just float back. And it was awesome. We had a really good time. And then we came back, and it was a little chilly, but it warmed up. We were in the high 70s today, so it's almost like, you know, the good weather is on its way, and that was just kind of a prelude to it. So all in all, it was awesome. Granny, glad to hear you. Dave, glad to hear you. Again, it's been a while since I've been here. So I know we're probably trying to wrap up here, so I'm just going to leave it at that. So look forward to another good show next week. Hope everybody else is doing great. I'm super happy Anthony's getting settled in. And, I'd like to get him something out in the mail, too. I've been meaning to do it. I just haven't quite gotten there either. So, anyway, that's all for me.
Outstanding, man. It was great to have you back this evening. Great. We had a blast tonight. Good show tonight. Cutting up. That's all we did throughout the whole show. There's one of those shows that's an excellent show, but there's no redeeming value to it. All we did was cut up through the whole damn thing. So these are the shows.
Well,
I'd
you
like
need that. You need that kind of show once in a while, Dave. You know,
yeah.
Just where everybody can cut up and have fun. Yeah. And one more thing that Brady asked me, he says, I got to ask you one question. Am I going to be invited to the Bobby Fulton wedding? And I said, no, you're not going to be invited to the Bobby Fulton wedding because there is going to be no wedding. I said, Bobby's my friend, and that is it, and I'm happily married to my wonderful husband, David, so case closed. I mean, you know, they were really roughing me up last night, big time.
You need to go back and listen to the show then, Granny, and hear us talking about what we would do with a time machine. Maybe perhaps you could put something together and then come back. All would be good.
Oh, who knows?
Yeah, don't tell us. Real quick for me, I am not going to carry on with dates and everything because I've got quite a few dates coming up, but I'll do that some other time. Real quick, like I am usually a pretty good product pitch guy. Take, for instance, like Dr. Squatch soap. If you've never used the stuff, go out and buy a bar of it. Yeah, it's $6 for a bar of soap, but that stuff is amazing. That is the real deal. And I would stand on a stack of damn Bibles and tell you it's worth $6 for one bar of soap. It's good shit. Just the same, they have come out with a new Bojangles hard iced tea. And as you all know, I am a Pabst drinker and a whiskey drinker, so I'm not into the IPAs or the foo-foo drinks or the hard teas. But nevertheless, I love me some damn Bojangles tea. So I says, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and get some of this. $17 for a 12-pack. Expensive stuff, right? Brought it home. Imagine getting a good Smithfield sweet tea, taking peach crown royal, pouring it in there, and taking maybe another 2 or 3 teaspoons of sugar and putting it in there. It tastes absolutely nothing like that. This Bojangles hard iced tea tastes like somebody fluid.
Oh.
and just a colostomy bag and poured it through a dirty pair of pantyhose, and you drank it from the other end. It was so bad. I come dangerously close to coming out here in the yard and eating a piece of cat or eating a piece of dog shit just to get the taste out of my mouth. It was so good. So in the event you come by that nifty yellow box that says Bojangles Hard Iced Tea, let me save you $17, people. Don't buy that stuff. And as per it saying Bojangles Hard Sweet Iced Tea, that is false advertising. If it said R. Kelly's Piss, that would probably be closer to exactly what it tasted like. Not that I would know what R. Kelly's Piss tasted like, but nevertheless, you could imagine. Yeah, the stuff is horrendous.
Nasty.
And, so if I haven't done anything good for humanity this week, hopefully if one person can refrain from buying that product after listening to this show, I have made an impact to this planet. And by God, I rest my head on the pillow feeling better that way. So again, Bojangles Hard Iced Tea. Leave it there. Go drink some pond water. It's better. So with all that, I am going to ease into Atwell Manor. Let me collect my goods here. It's kind of nice the weather's getting back to where I could come out here and have a cigar and not have to dress up like Frosty the goddamn snowman or something like that. I can just come out here and enjoy a cigar and drinks and everything. So, of course, in another 2 months, it'll be hotter than hell. I'll be out here sweating my nuts off and everything. But
mosquitoes, right. Bugs. Yep.
Yeah. Having to light 20 citronella candles just so I don't get carried away, you know. All right, so let's get over here and see if I got some internet. Yeah, I do, damn, I do. All right, so I got a minute 50 seconds before we run over and create all kinds of a time travel calamity for the next show. So we're going to close it off. Tim, Granny, and Todd, since I mentioned you a couple times, even though you're not here, hope you guys have a wonderful week. Love you guys. You guys rock. And we will be talking, I know originally, to all you wonderful folks out there to listen to us, even the 0.74% in Argentina that are listening to us. And in the event that the Bojangles Hard Iced Tea is in Argentina, don't buy it down there either. So, with all that, hope everybody has a wonderful week.
I'll do British TV slowed down. I'll do it real slowed down. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Thank you. Thank you, the lurch version of the British lady. All right, gang. Y'all have a wonderful night, and we will see you next week here, Pop Culture
Stars. Good night,
Stars.
Everybody.
Good night, gang. Y'all take care. And British lady, I got 30 seconds, chick. You got to be on.